superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
All rise. Here comes
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's never enough. Yeah. Enough.
At work, I play it all day, every day.
You guys are the bomb.
We welcome back here on the show. It was great when he was here in person. A few, I think it was about a year ago, and now he is in another red-hot show. Lovecraft Country airs Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern on HBO. It premiered a couple of weeks ago. So many people are talking about it, and part of it is because of how well-acted it is. That includes Courtney B. Vance back here on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. What a wonderful segue. That was very nice, Rich. You've done this show before.
You know what? This is what I this is the only way I know how to roll. I only know one speed. I only know one speed. That's it. That's all.
I like your speed. Nice.
Well, I appreciate yours as well. I want to give you the floor on the show.
Seamless.
Because how would you describe it to people who have yet to see it? What would you say about it, Courtney?
It's a family that during the 50s where black folks could not travel freely throughout the country, especially north to south, south to north. So there was a group of people who traveled the country and they scoped out places for people to do, black folks to do daily, your daily stuff. Get your hair cut, get a good meal, get a nice place to stay. Women get your hair did, you know, toes done, nails, all that kind of stuff. And so, and once they, and all those things were compiled in a book called The Green Book. And so our family does that. And on the way down there, we know what we're going into. Emmett Till didn't take it seriously when he went from Chicago down to Mississippi and he paid the ultimate price. But we knew what we were getting into. We go down there and we know the physical monsters that we'll encounter, which are the sheriffs and the policemen and the you know, folks, just folks, racist folks in general. But there are actually figurative monsters down there. And we actually are battling myself, Jonathan Majors, plays my nephew, and Journey Smollett, who plays his good friend. We, the three of us, as we're traveling, we discover we're in the middle of some really... We're battling both the figurative and the metaphysical monsters, and it's quite thrilling and exciting.
When you say metaphysical monsters, you're again, that's the part about this show that is jarring when it first appears. You're talking about actual monsters. That's what you're referring to.
Yes, people, you just don't know what you're, and that's the beauty of any show is that you think you know what's going on. And you kind of do know what's going on. Maybe if you watch the show and you get lulled into a sense of, oh, we know this show. We're in rhythm with the show. And then all of a sudden, bam, the show takes you in a different direction. And that's what these great limited series and these series do. They throw you. And so you're on the edge of your seat. Something's going to happen. I know something's going to happen. It didn't happen to something. But I know something's going to happen. So you know, you really, you know, when they're done well, this particular genre, and it's an action flick, and, you know, it's a horror flick. So it's you know, they're incredibly hard to do. And Misha Green and her team and the cast and crew and the producers, Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams and HBO, they really, it was a struggle to find our rhythm, but we found it, and boy, did it pay off.
Well, when you find out that you get a production team, a producer team of who you just mentioned, and then you see a cast, you're absolutely, I'm sure, for somebody in your profession, you're like, okay, where do I sign? That said, when you get a script like this, did you have to read it a couple times to kind of grasp
this was? I'm a huge Misha Green fan after The Underground. And so I wanted to be in that show. This came up to me. Misha I sat down with her, and I knew as soon as I talked to her, I wanted to do this. So it wasn't a hard sell for me. I just wanted to be in it. I wanted to be a part of something that she was doing because I know her vision is very large. And so this one, I mean, I didn't really know the extent of what, I mean, you talk about, there are going to be monsters, Courtney, and cause I'm not a real big horror flick guy. Yes. I'm an action flick guy. So I just went in on faith that I knew that, you know, she, when she says it's going to be done, it's going to be done well. And it was HBO and Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams. I said, I'm in.
Courtney B. Vance here on the Rich Eisen Show. When you say action film, give me an action film. Which one? Give me a good one. When you're like, okay, I want to watch an action film. This is the one.
What what was the one that with the blue face people and that James Cameron did that we're all waiting for number two?
Avatar.
Avatar. That's classic. That's, you know.
Sure.
With the one with Harrison Ford.
Which
know,
is pretty much any.
Family.
By the way, you just named every Harrison Ford film, pretty much outside of Star Wars.
I'm a huge Harrison Ford. Any of the Indiana Jones series, the Game of Thrones, you know, is an action series.
By the way, I mean, to be on an HBO show too, Courtney, you know, and Michael K. Williams, part of the cast member. I love
Angelou Ellis.
He's
Umi,
right.
Zaka. Zaku was just with the cast is stellar.
No doubt. I mean, Michael K. Williams, for fans who of HBO shows might know, he was played Chalky White in Boardwalk Empire, but of course Omar from The Wire. Which is one of Omar is one of the greatest characters in TV
classic.
History, you could say. You could really make a case
classic.
For that. For sure. So, Courtney B. Vance here on The Rich Eisen Show. You're from Detroit. Does that make you a Lions fan? I don't know if we had this conversation before, but have you?
We probably did, but I think I let you know before, they just took too long for me. I had to move on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just they have never won anything, and I wish I could hang with them, but I left a long time ago.
Okay.
I love my city. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lion. I'm sorry.
No, I know. And you have a couple of Ivy League schools on your diplomas on your wall. So do you have is there a sports team of yours that you kind of dig, that you've followed, used to, anything that
I was a Patriots fan for the longest time, but that, you know, I was Mr. Brady was my guy. But he's moved. So I think I have to go down to Tampa Bay.
Okay.
And that's where the Super Bowl is this year. So I'm down there. The Clippers are my team in basketball. Yankees are my team in baseball. I think I've created enough enemies already. I think, do I need to stop that?
No, I'm a Yankee fan, and TJ Jefferson, my social media grand maester, to use the phrase from Game of Thrones, is a big-time Clipper fan who loves the Mets, and I tried to get him off the Mets and go to the Yankees earlier today, just on this very program, about 2 hours ago. You know,
yeah, you're not going to do that. That's like the Sox and the, you know,
and the Cubs.
The Cubs,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. For sure. So, do you have any thoughts on what on the NBA deciding to stop playing for a few days?
They had to do something. Somebody had to say something, and they made a statement. The GOAT, the greatest of all time, got in there with the owners, and they let them know. Just let the guys talk. Let them talk. You got to let them talk, and you guys got to listen, because this is bigger than the game. The life is bigger than the game. And so they came to a decision that they made a statement, and then they were going to get back to playing. But it is. I was encouraged that it was across the board. It was baseball, tennis, golf, you know, soccer. Everyone is taking a stand and saying that's enough. That's enough. And so it is, whether or not they threw the whole season, I think they made the compromise when they all got together and talked it through, that it was enough. We had to make a statement. We had to say something. We just couldn't keep playing and not say something, which is what, you know, with the... Usually a president that stands up and comments on something, says something to bring the country together, that we're going to get through this together, we're going to find out what happened, and just be calm. Nobody, nothing. And so that's why where we are now. There's nothing in the center. Nobody is speaking calm, who is as a moral authority, because there is none right now in the White House. There is no moral authority.
Courtney B. Vance here on The Rich Eisen Show, the Emmy Award-winning actor from the American Crime Story show, People versus O.J. Simpson, from a couple years ago that was so remarkable and amazing, and you playing Johnny Cochran in it, amazing. Did you learn anything about the? How did you prepare for that character, as we all know?
I jumped in, Rich. I jumped in and because, you know, I didn't want to feel that I was in my head imitating him, so I read Jeffrey Toobin's book, and then I jumped in, read it a couple of times, and I jumped in, and I got a kernel that was all I needed. And I knew that the scripts were great, that were the 10 scripts that were written for our episodes. And I thought that what I didn't get, the audience would forgive me it because the scripts were so good. So that worked for me this time. So sometimes, you know, you have to do your research and hang with the genius Aretha. We're doing on Nat Geo, playing C.O. Franklin,
right.
Aretha Franklin's father, Reverend C.O. Franklin. That one I had to do the research. I had to jump in and do the research and do, you know, spend some time and try to get his rhythms down because I'm preaching and singing. So it was a much more involved process. But the Anthony Hemingway was with us for the OJ piece, and he's with us on the Genius Aretha. And he's my guy. I'm very proud to be a part of this together with him. And we're going to try to get back to, we didn't finish shooting it, so we're going to try to get back sometime next month or the month after and bring it home.
And then that's, yeah, it's awesome. Last one for you here. I'm going to jump way back. How old is Sean Connery turned 90 this week? Is that a true story?
That's
Chris?
True.
Wow.
90 years old. You have, it's 1990,
wow.
The famed Hunt for Red October. I don't know if you were in, wow, many scenes with him, but you got any good Connery stories from the set?
Yes, absolutely. He had just had throat surgery. And so, you know, back in that day, there was all this atmospheric smoke. It was terrible for you. I don't know how any of us survived it. Mm-hmm. But when he wasn't on the set, they smoked it up. We could barely see each other. There was so much smoke on that set. But when he was on the set, we just heard someone just scream out, "Sean's on the way!" And because he had let everybody know early on, he said, "You got me for a month, and there's no smoke. I want no smoke." So he got on the set. Everyone had a fan, and everyone was waving their, you know, their scripts and whatever, just to clear the air. But before he got on the set, because he would walk away if there was any smoke in there. So that was all. That was very, very classic. Classic Sean Connery telling everybody that you only got me for a month, and when I'm here, there's no smoke.
And that had to be, you know, you were, I think we discussed this maybe the last time you were on, but I kind of have a new audience right now anyway. That must have been one of your first gigs. Obviously, you were in Hamburger Hill before that, which is a remarkable film, but that had to be a first biggie. You want to talk about action movies? I mean, my gosh, that had to be pretty big for you to be on a set like that, and here comes Sean Connery, smoke or not, you know, that had to be...
Right.
Huge for you. That had to be big.
That was big. It was very difficult to get into because I read the book several times and I wanted that role so bad. But I was doing a play at the Public with Joe Papp.
Yep.
And my agent at the time let the general manager of the Public know that if the role comes up, he should be allowed to go. And the general manager, yep, no problem. He'll be able to. But of course, the general manager never told that to Joe. And so, of course, it came up. I got the role, and the agent calls the general manager and says, "He's got the role, he's got to go." And the general manager says, "No." Because I had replaced Joe Morton in this play. So the general manager didn't want to let me go. So I had to go up and talk to Joe, and he's telling me why I couldn't go. And I'm saying, I just knew in my spirit, I'm out. So by the time I got back downstairs to get ready to do the show, they told me that, Sam Cohen at ICM at the time, God rest his soul, called Joe up and the general manager, and the Sam Cohen said, "You got to let him go, Joe." And Joe said to the general manager, "Did you tell him he could go up
this movie came up for him. The general manager had to admit he did.
There you go.
And there we go.
And off you went. And now Lovecraft Country, the latest on your remarkable filmography and all the TV shows that you have been doing. Courtney B. Vance on Twitter and Instagram at Courtney B. Vance. Thank you for joining again. Always appreciate our chats.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. You're smooth.
I will take all three of those smooths. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Yes, best sir. To you and your family. We'll chat again soon, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. Right back at you. Courtney B. Vance, Lovecraft Country on HBO, Sundays, 9 Eastern time.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
Back here on our radio networks, rejoining us here on the NBC Sports on Peacock stream and on NBC Sports over the weekend. We talked to Drew Brees in hour one, as we saw the Sunday night game that wrapped up a Sunday that started with the coverage of the NASCAR Cup Series Championship won by this man who appeared on this show as a more, if you will, fresh-faced individual last in 2016. When he was barely 21 years old, now he's a 25-year-old Cup champion. He is Chase Elliott. How are you? How you been, Chase?
Man, I've been good. Been a crazy couple weeks, and really been enjoying everything that's coming along with this.
What's your first racing memory, Chase Elliott? What's your first racing memory?
Man, for me, I started racing go-karts when I was 8-ish, and I remember some of those races actually. Been going at it for a while.
Sure, absolutely. And now, you know, here you are. We're showing a picture of you in your daddy's arms as a little baby. Now here you are carrying on your family's tradition of winning the big race, winning a championship. What does it mean to you, Chase, now that you have won it?
Yeah, it's honestly just incredible. And I think a lot of it, you know, I really haven't had any time to myself since Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to just sitting down and reflecting on everything. It's obviously a really big deal and, you know, something that I really am going to enjoy and embrace. And I wish our off season was longer and you could enjoy it longer, but just trying to recognize everything that it represents.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to intrude in a time where you're looking forward to being alone. So let's act like it's just you and I, and not a nationally televised streaming and radio audience. The fact that you have, in fact, won. I mean, after you started your career 0-98, and your family name also attached to all of this. What are you thinking? Like, let's just linger on this for a moment, if you don't mind.
Yeah, for Chase. Sure. I think, you know, a big one I've thought about some over the past couple of weeks is really just the road to that first win was long and kind of bumpy at certain points in time, had some great opportunities and wasn't able to get it done. So, you know, I think some of those tough days and some of those tough losses that, were a part of that journey, I really feel like helped sculpt and help prepare our team and myself for big moments like this weekend and last weekend. So, you know, when you're living those tough days, you know, it's no fun, but to see the big picture now, obviously all that stuff happened for a reason.
What was it like celebrating with your dad in Victory Lane, Chase? What was that
like? Yeah, so great to have you and my mom there. You know, they've been a massive piece of my racing career. Obviously wouldn't be where I'm at without them and the sacrifice they've made. So, yeah, grateful they were there and, you know, we could enjoy that as a family.
Is there anything you could share, the conversations, again?
Yeah, just a lot of excitement, to be honest. I mean, it's a lot of emotion and you know, like I said, a lot of sacrifice has been made over the years, and they've, you know, played a huge role in this. So, yeah, just a lot of excitement shared for sure.
Chase Elliott here on the Rich Eisen Show. The fact, again, that this was done in a pandemic, too, has got to be something for your entire crew, a reason to celebrate. Obviously, we're always looking for anything positive in this crazy world right now. What were the challenges that you and your crew went through this year to get all this, Chase?
Yeah, you know, we just kind of kept fighting. You know, I think about our season, and it was just you could write a novel, I feel like, on our year. Started off really good. Felt like we started the year as strong as we've ever been in my Cup career, and I was really, really excited. Had the COVID break and came back, and I feel like we kept that momentum. Everything was going just as good. And then, you know, about a month after we got back from the COVID break, it seemed like guys were starting to get better, and we had kind of fallen off some. And we spent, I thought, the majority of the summer months struggling, not running very good, and just wasn't really hitting on anything. And then about the time the playoffs started, we, you know, just got better fundamentally. You know, nothing over the top, but just, you know, small improvements in different areas on the car and added up to be performance here, performance there, and had a couple good tracks for us with, you know, with Martinsville and the Roval. You know, having two good races, had a little momentum, and had a shot at it. So it just everything worked out.
And then obviously, you know, championship week comes and the race comes and two pre-race inspections don't go your way. You got to start from the back. What was that challenge like for you?
Yeah, you know, I think having your car balanced well and having a good team around, I obviously can make up for starting in the back. I mean, the good news was we still kept our pit pick, and so we had our pit stall as if we qualified first, which, you know, is a big deal. And I really felt like that pit selection was probably more important than the starting position itself. So just went to work, and luckily the car was in the ballpark and we could fine tune on it, and we did, and hit it right for the last run. So can't ask for much more than that.
Chase Elliott here on the Rich Eisen Show, just a couple of weeks shy of your 25th birthday. How many of these are you thinking you can win? Let's start counting future here. Come on now.
I'm going to enjoy the heck out of this one, man. I'm not even thinking about next year right now, but yeah, it's, you know, looking forward to the holidays and, you know, Thanksgiving and spending a lot of time around family and friends. So enjoying it, man. I'm not getting ahead of myself today.
All right. Who did you hear from after winning it all, Chase, that might be of interest to people out there? Curious.
Yeah. Who did
names.
I hear from? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to name
Come on.
Names in particular.
Come on, Chase. There is no I in Chase. There may be one in Elliott, though.
Yeah.
So come on now. Come on.
That's tough. But, you know, to come home to what I came home to yesterday, it was really cool. And got to share a picture from the weekend on Instagram, and a lot of great support on there, too. So, man, it's you don't realize how many people pay attention to this stuff until something like this happens. So, really cool, really cool, and grateful for a lot of great support.
Anybody from racing history, anybody from other sports who reached out to you?
Yeah, you know, one that sticks out, I'll share, Daniel Ricciardo reached out. He's an F1 driver, you know, and that's a discipline that I certainly respect and look up to. So from another area, That's a cool one I'll share with you guys. And he, was kind enough to say congrats.
Now, obviously, your relationship with Jimmy Johnson we know about, but what were his two cents on you winning as he's heading off into retirement here?
Yeah, the cool thing about Jimmy is, he's just, I feel like he was a big of a fan and pulling for us harder than anybody. And, you don't see that much out of competitors. And he's just one of those guys that's just genuine. And, he was genuinely happy for us. And you don't get that every day in a person like him. So just a good dude. And he was just so, so excited for us and couldn't ask for anything more.
How heavy is the trophy?
The trophy's heavy. The trophy is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing pictures and stuff, and my little arms, I need to get in the gym, I guess. I had to take some breaks.
Well, I mean, this is something that could definitely work on your traps, your tries.
Yeah. No, it's a serious piece of metal.
Yeah. I mean, so did it get its own seat on the way home? Where is it?
Well, I don't really know where that thing went because
– Oh, come on.
It didn't come home with me, so I'm going to have to get it here at some point. I guess they have to box it up, and, they don't want to get broke. So
yeah.
Well, that's probably good. Let's not break it.
Well, it looks like something you could sleep in, honestly. Like you could tuck yourself in the top of that.
No, it's nice. It's nice.
Oh, my gosh. So right now, you, Chase Elliott, do not know the whereabouts of this trophy. Right now, as you and I are talking.
It's somewhere between North Carolina and Phoenix. Somewhere between the two,
All right.
Would say.
Amanda, did it ask, do you have a tracking number?
I don't have a tracking number, but I trust the people at NASCAR because I think they're the last ones that had it. So I don't think they're going to lose that. They've toted it around all year. Surely they ain't going to lose it now.
All right. Very good. Hey, Chase, like I said, you were here. I know we spoke earlier this year on the phone, but you are here as a 20-year-old, man. About 4 years ago, we're showing a photograph of it right now. I look different. You don't. But that's okay. That's what aging in this world really is. what if I told you on that day as you're walking out the door you were going to be the 2020 champion? What would you have said to that?
I probably said you're crazy. Man, I just think about the beginning of this road here in Cup and a lot of the things that have come along with it. I mentioned some of those tough losses and days leaving the racetrack ready to go crawl in a hole and, to have things kind of work out this year really is nothing short of amazing. And, just grateful for all the lessons I've learned over these first 5 years. So, things can change fast, I suppose.
No doubt about it. And I guess last one for you, is it fair to use the word relief as an emotion you're feeling?
Right now? I think there's a sense of that for sure. I've never ended a NASCAR season and been like just fulfilled because you're always wanting more, right? You're always wanting to be the guy. So if you're not the guy, you're not going to be fulfilled. So I'm just so proud and can enjoy a winter knowing that there was nothing else we could do this year. And that's all you can ever dream of entering an off season with.
Well, congratulations, man. There's only three father-son combinations to both win a NASCAR championship, Lee and Richard Petty, Ned and Dale Jarrett, and now you and your dad, the Elliotts. Congrats.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it. You take care, Chase. That's Chase Elliott right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Okay, gents. Now, yesterday you hurt me. I'll be honest. I can easily say this. The fact that I learned on live television and radio that you guys ordered 12 Lou Malnati's pizzas to be delivered here, and I was not aware of it at all. I learned about it on live TV and radio. I said, where's my take? How could you not even think of me? Now, earlier today, just to bring our next guest a little bit up to speed here, you did give me each a pizza from you. I had to ask for it. I had to basically show my vulnerability on this show and ask for it.
We paid respect.
And again, this show, and I'll just bring everyone up to speed. As you know, we have gone a change here. We're on Peacock now. This is a Rich Eisen Productions production. I am now the CEO of this operation. So I needed to reach out to somebody and ask, how should a CEO handle this with his employees who put him on the paint on mine list? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is Mr. Wonderful himself. Kevin O'Leary.
I have an app I can show.
Are you there, Kevin?
Yes, I'm here, Rich, and I'm here to deliver a very important message, too.
Okay.
The way you should look at this is you are a single-cell amoeba. You are a cockroach. You are a nothing burger in your own organization. Mm-hmm. And the good news, that's not all bad.
Okay.
You have something to work for now. You can move up the feeding chain. It can't get any worse than this. So you only have up. That's it. Look at it that way. The very fact that you're not even on the pizza list, I mean, you're invisible. You're a nobody. I celebrate that because it really should be a motivational speech I'm giving here. Stop being a single-cell amoeba cockroach and move up the feeding chain. Maybe somebody will recognize you walking down the hall one day. You never know.
Well, my intent to have you on here, Kevin, was to give me the ammunition to deal with this with my employees, Kevin. Do you have any advice for me?
Listen, if I owned stock in your company, Rich, I'd fire you right now. Work your way back up. That's the way it's got to be done. Listen, you know, I'm Mr. Wonderful for a reason. I tell the truth.
I know.
But I heard that story and I said, wow, that just says it all right there. The pizza index. You're a zero.
Have you ever experienced this in your world of business, Kevin, running a company, ever?
No, I haven't because, you know, I always the way I look at it is you have to be one of the employees to manage the employees and then lead the employees one day. That's the way I look at it. Everybody knows I'm tough, but I'm fair. I'm just having some fun with you. First of all, I would never allow anybody to order a pizza from Chicago when I'm on the West Coast. What is that? That's crazy. That's absolutely nuts. You could save so much money not doing that kind of thing. I don't even let them buy a $2.50 coffee. It's a waste. It costs you 18 cents to make coffee. That's how I make money.
So this is a bad business deal from the beginning is what you're saying, Kevin. That's what I'm picking up. This is just
everything. There's nothing good about this story. Nothing good about this story. I can't find a silver lining in it anywhere.
So
just a disaster.
So I was wondering, how do I bring up the fact that the one who was paying for everything and was in charge of all of it was the guy who pitched you on the app that you should get on your phone to make sure that your loved one was alive and could ping your phone just because they were alive. What if I told you that was the guy in charge of the caper, Kevin?
That was a really bad idea, too. was horrific. That was, you know, I remember the bad ones better than the good ones because I generally invest in the good ones and they go off and they make money for me. That's great. That idea was horrific. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to call it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it and say to myself, there's always some fantastic new ideas coming. There's always something better coming down the road. I mean, you know, you are the CEO of your company.
Yes,
you got to make sure everybody is doing what you do because you all want to work together. I heard that story and I thought, I can't even say on the radio what I want to say. That's the thing.
All right, Kevin. Again, should I, how do I just keep this in the back of my head moving forward as the CEO of this business? Or what would be your last piece of advice?
It's soul searching. Things like, where did I go wrong? How can I change this? Maybe a walk in the desert for a few hours, you know, that kind of thing. It's just, you're really a little soul searching here, but you're starting at the bottom. That's the way I look at it. So you can only go up.
Okay.
You know, when we talk again, I think things will be better because it can't get any worse.
Kevin O'Leary, everybody. Thanks for the call, Kevin. I appreciate
it. Wonderful.
You take care of yourself. Thanks
take
for the
care.
Call.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. It's Kevin O'Leary. That didn't go the way I wanted it to go.
It definitely didn't. Worked out for us.
How did it work out for you?
Your actions make Kevin O'Leary say that we're such a dumpster fire, he wouldn't want to buy us.
You know, like the Jets?
We're the Jets!
We're the Jets! We have become the Jets?
No.
Your actions left me open for that broadside from Mr. Wonderful.
I mean, you didn't have to call him.
I thought he was going
to
come on and say that, and you just, know, right, yeah. say that I should fire all of you guys. And I try and defend you because I need you guys here every single day, and the fact that you didn't get me pizzas makes everybody wonder here if we've got a proper operation.
But we did get you pizzas.
We did. You have them now.
Just a couple hours after we got out.
Yeah, I mean, a couple days.
It's a different day.
And we got a great Rudy bit out of it.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Was it a great Rudy bit?
Yeah, this song was great for us.
Yeah, it was good for us.
This worked. This worked.
Being able to play the Rudy song was good.
By the way, we planned all of this.
I couldn't even see. What pizzas did you bring me?
It was planned.
Oh, no, you got good ones.
Pepperoni and sausage.
You got one cheese, one pepperoni, one sausage. Yeah, one of each.
And they're on ice right now, Rich.
You know what?
They're on ice for you.
I don't want your pizzas. How's that for a little Henry-like twist?
Rich, but your kids probably.
Yeah, but in actuality, we brought him in for...
Malnati's is delivering more pizzas to Mike's house now.
How many? Do we know?
I don't care.
I mean, if an 18-wheeler like pulls up in front of my house, I mean...
This was tweeted to us today, considering finding new friends.
Yeah, see?
That is awesome.
See, Lou Malnati even thinks that you're bad friends.
Well, that's kind of weird.
And Kevin O'Leary would pass on Rich Eisen Productions right now because of your actions.
Uh-oh.
We hurt the brand?
We hurt the brand.
Like, you just said I'm a single cell. He called me a single cell organism.
Yeah, I didn't follow that. Biology, not the best for me.
Yeah.
He called me the protozoa of hosts.
My brand went up. Wow. 12%.
We're up 12% today.
Protozoa of hosts.
I haven't heard that since like ninth grade.
Wasn't it a Led Zeppelin song?
Protozoa of hosts. Well, the host protozoa. The host protozoa. That was a deep purple, I think.
Pink Floyd.
My cheeks hurt.
By the way, Rich, I'm gifting my
Kevin
pizza
O'Leary
to
just called back into the show, everybody.
I'm gifting my pizza to your kids, by the way. This was for the children.
Yeah, I know.
That was funny.
We are the world. We are the children.
We love you, Rich.
You know what? Your actions of the past 24 hours belie that. I'm not going to lie.
Look, we only roast the ones we love.
I really appreciate that, Mikey.
Who's that? Who said that?
I forget, but they're thanking me for giving me
Oh, my gosh.